Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the University of Maryland Division of Transplantation, where patients' lives are enhanced by a renowned transplant program known for innovation and excellence in kidney, liver, and pancreas transplants. For more information, the number is 1-800-492-5538, or you can click on the University of Maryland Medical System banner on the Steiner Show webpage. All the information is there as well. Again, 1-800-492-5538 to look into their transplant program. We are going to talk about urban farming this hour. There is a group coming to town to create a conversation, the Greenhorns. Now, my grandfather's generation, that meant people come from overseas who didn't know anything about America, but it means something else here, different, I think. And director of the Greenhorns is joining us. It's an organization dedicated to supporting and recruiting young American farmers. Her name is Severin von Charner-Fleming. And Severin, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having us.
And Cheryl Colmona is with us by phone. She's a gardener at the Boone Street Garden in the Midway neighborhood of Baltimore. Cheryl, welcome.
Thank you.
And once again in studio, Denzel Mitchell, founder and farm manager of Five Seeds Farm here in Baltimore. Denzel.
How you doing?
Good, man. 410-319-8888 is the number here to join us. So let me start, first of all, Severin, to talk about this. Tell our listeners who the Greenhorns are and then why you're coming to Baltimore. Yeah.
So Greenhorns is a network, and it's a nonprofit organization dedicated to promote, support, and recruit young farmers and new farmers in America. We are firmly of the belief that young farmers are core protagonists in the project of fixing America, and we're thrilled to be coming to Baltimore, which seems to be just crawling with new farm, city farm initiatives, and of course, The project begins in rural places, and it also is beginning in urban places. So we're thrilled to come and meet everybody who's already doing it.
Now, Denzel,
yeah,
you're in the thick of this.
That's what they tell me.
That's what it looks like too. You just came off the farm to come over here, right?
I did.
You don't like calling it urban farming. You call it city farming.
I like to call it city farming, or better yet, farming.
Better yet, just farming. It happens to be in the city.
It happens to be in the city.
So, talk about why you're part of this group. What is your?
Because I think I constitute a young farmer, definitely a new farmer who is employing some sustainable and organic practices that I feel like I could pass some of that knowledge on to somebody else, and I'd like to connect with other people that have some similar practices and philosophies, and so we could communicate and figure out how to fix the food system.
But your farm is literally the one that we visited when you were on the show that one time.
Yeah, that was one plot. This season we operated on two other pieces of property. One was in a Roland Park area, and one was off of Greenmount, real close to Boone Street Garden, which was a lot to manage. So now as the season's starting to wind down and we're focusing on the fall, we're back over full-time over at Bel Air Edison.
And Cheryl, tell us about your place.
So Boone Street is also an urban farm, city farm, either way. And it's our first year, so we are getting into establishing the farm this year. We were lucky to work with the Youth Works program, and we had a team of Youth Works kids working with us this summer, and an AmeriCorps Vista volunteer working with us. And so we're in the process of establishing right now, and we've created some, we're working with the neighborhood to try to create our market, and we're interested in building a practice that's sustainable and that's going to build the health of the soil and the land and the watershed.
So tomorrow we have this event with as is put here in this piece I was reading, urban farmers are coming to Baltimore for farm tours and workshops. I mean, what do we hope to get out of this? I mean, what do we know? Let's start with that. What do you hope to get out of what's going on tomorrow? I guess we should turn to the woman who's convening, Severin.
Yeah, Severin.
Oh, you're talking to me.
I'm talking to you.
Well, so we're there to be listening and to be facilitating. Obviously, you bring into this all, just as much as you bring out, and ultimately, the real strength of the new farmer movement
has very much to do with our capacity to collaborate and to collaborate quite radically between individuals, between businesses, kind of cross-sector partnerships. That's really where the strength comes. And so as much as there will be information and inspiration available, and of course available at any time during the course of the day, you are welcome to join at any time, you know, the people you'll meet there is the hope, are people that are part of the project that we're all part of. And so really knowing and latching into the skill sets and the energy of our neighbors is, you know, a core survival strategy for any farmer, but particularly as a new farmer. That's what I recommend doing. And information I should mention is up on the greenhorns.net/Baltimore. So.
And that we'll put that on our website as well so people can know about that and join you all tomorrow. Now, Cheryl, I understand that part of what you do, what you know a great deal about is, because Baltimore, a lot of Baltimore land is contaminated, and a lot of what you do is learning about and turning contaminated soil into arable soil.
Well, yeah, so I have studied soil and watershed science at the University of Maryland in the Environmental Science and Technology program. And so I have my interest is in converting this vacant city land that has been has had lots of buildings that have been taken down on it, and this land is right in residential neighborhoods in the middle of the city, in the heart of the city, and there are interested people who want to grow food in the city. And when I'm going to be speaking tomorrow, I'm going to be talking about the challenges of building a farm on this these types of lands that have issues with compaction, pH issues. I'm going to be talking about issues with some contaminants, which are usually more long-term problems. So it takes a little more time to deal with contaminated land. But I will be talking about that a little bit. But there's also some more immediate things you can do with land that is just generally has been developed on, and it has been turned into vacant land due to the residential houses that have been taken down in the city. That's the land that we're growing on at Bloom Street Garden. 20 years ago, they were row houses, and they were taken down. And I'm going to be talking about the challenges that most urban farmers face in growing on that type of land.
Number here is 410-319-8888. I'm curious what our listeners think about. Many of you I know are involved in gardens. Many of you do think about this issue about how we can end the food deserts in communities like Baltimore, and how do we feed people in this community. And some of the candidates from the election actually have some interesting ideas. Now we have to see if we can push an administration to do some of those ideas that weren't necessarily theirs, which is, can you tear down houses or take empty land, and rather than building it up, making it into parkland, making it into urban garden land, make it into farms in our city. Does that sound viable to you? At 410-319-8888, write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. I mean, one of the things that we're exploring in this new series we're doing on transforming the food system, which I'm so interested in Greenhorns coming to Baltimore and seeing this conversation that you are going to create. I know there's another small farmers conference taking place at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore in November. So there's clearly something bubbling up and moving. But as another one of the farmers that I was talking to said, who's not here on the show today, but has been on the show before, will be again, from Big City Farms, which is a for-profit small farm here in Baltimore City. And the conversations I had was, look, all this is great. The vegetables are good. I mean, your stuff is delicious, Denzel.
Thank you.
I mean, your food is amazing. And so, and I have to say I'm a part of his CSA, so let that be the piece of disclosure. I'm not just saying that to people, but I am part of his CSA because the food is good, and we like to eat it. But the only way it seems to me that this becomes really viable is when an economic model is developed that allows farmers to grow stuff and survive financially and raise a family and make food affordable. For what we don't like about, let's say, the CAFOs, mass chicken farms that, that are awesome and part of this conversation we've had on the air. And will be again. What they did in the last 40 years, I mean, we have a lot of issues on the environment. We've argued and talked about that as well. But what they did in one level is to be able to figure out a way to mass produce a piece of food that people could afford to eat because you couldn't afford to buy chicken. Right?
Right. Right.
So the question is, there's got to be how do we turn this love of a lovely idea, sustainable farming, into a way that actually feeds masses of people and just doesn't feed the wealthy elite and restaurants? That's the question to me. And let me turn to Severin first.
Well, you're asking that question. That's the smallest, beautiful, biggest subsidized question. And we're all aware of the American food system and its consequences and how easy and convenient it is to find unhealthy food in our economy, in our country. And, you know, unfortunately, the answer to that question is not really in a phrase. It's more in a generation that we have to answer that question. Ultimately, the burden of that answer lies with entrepreneurs and with businesses and business people who are figuring out how to make a sustainable livelihood. Now, I will say that there are many thousands of organic farms across the country, and many of them are even sending their kids to college. You know, some of them are on scholarship, but it is possible to make a living in agriculture. Is it easy? No. Is the system rigged in favor of a corn-based, confinement-based meat production? Totally. Are we in a budget situation at the federal level that will change dramatically the way that those subsidy dollars configure the agricultural economic landscape? Totally, yes. And so, you know, even though in the last 30 years we've seen this consolidation and, you know, the ever-cheapening of food and streamlining and vertical integration and concentration within the industry, it's very likely that we'll see some changes in the times ahead. So anyway, that's a big project and one that I'm excited to be a part of answering.
And Denzel, before we open the phone to Donnie, the first caller, we're going to come to your call, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. This is something I know that I push all the time and we talk about.
Right, right. And, you know, Severin is right on point. I mean, there is a way to do it. It's not easy. And it's, oftentimes I kind of describe farming as being one of the thankless jobs, one of the most important in the world. But you can do it. We see it all the time. You know, my mentor, the farmer that I'm studying under this year as a new farmer, they are creating a viable living for themselves and their children, and they go on vacation every year. One major step that needs to take place within the food system is that the customers have to be educated on what the cost of the food is. Like, you know, right now we're extremely duped, and we have no real clear understanding of how much it costs to grow an onion or how much it costs to grow sweet corn. There's major costs that are accompanied to growing some of the most wonderful foods that we love to eat that we don't get to see at the grocery store. We don't get to see in the restaurants. And so we have, there is a way for people to eat and it not kill their pocketbooks, and they can support sustainable local agriculture and the farmer, make a decent living. But they have to be willing to say, okay, well, I'm going to pay, 25 cents more for my strawberries. I'm going to pay, a dollar more for my scallions. But you can, there's somebody that you can look at in the face with children, five of them, and say that I'm supporting this small business, and there's grand opportunity for many other entrepreneurs, family businesses, to fill that gap throughout the country.
Folks, I'm going to come back to this question, but let's go to the phones first at 410-319-8888. We're talking about the meeting coming to Baltimore this week, tomorrow, as a matter of fact. That the Greenhorns are bringing to town a conversation about farming in our community here, bringing lots of folks together. We'll give you information about how to get in touch with them and where to go in just a moment. But let's go at 410-319-8888 to Donna in Baltimore. You're on the air.
Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
Very well. Welcome.
Your guests are wonderful. I grew up in the environmental field, and I have two questions to ask you guys. One, because, you know, Baltimore has not been used as doesn't have agriculture in its zoning. How can you get past, or has it been changed, some of the zoning in dealing with agriculture? Because in order to do urban gardens, does the zoning have to be a little different, or is it what category would the zoning come under for agriculture gardens? And my second question, I'll hang up.
Mm-hmm.
When you create an urban garden, are you using organic seeds and not these bioengineered crossbred seeds? Because that's a key in making sure you get the quality food, not the bioengineered food that, you know, has depleted, you know, that's crossbred with insect genes and other things like that. And I'll hang up and listen.
Let me turn to Denzel first, and we'll go to the other two guests.
Okay. So those are two really awesome questions. The first piece is the most simplest answer is yes. The zoning is changing right now as we speak. There's lots of things happening inside the city, in the Department of Planning, inside the Office of Sustainability, and in the Department of Housing to allow for commercial small-scale farming to happen in the city. One of the big pieces of that is that this city just finished a process, or in the midst of a process of selecting farmers to be qualified and supported by the city to create and operate commercial farms. And so this is the Baltimore's urban agricultural process, and I'm in that process, and there's a few other farmers in the city that are in that process. And so the zoning laws are changing. One of the biggest victories that urban agriculture saw most recently in the zoning laws changing is to allow the building of a high tunnel or hoop house, which is essentially a very simple hoop structure, an unheated greenhouse, which allows you to grow later in the season and early in the season, the season extension tool. And this is, you know, this is the tool that Big City Farm uses to grow lettuce in the winter. And then the second piece organic farming and what type of seeds you choose to use. That's a very, very good question, and that's the, you know, that's a really, really important discussion that myself and other like-minded people try to keep on the table about what are your methods, what type of seeds are you using, you know, what seed houses are you supporting, and how do your methods give back to the land? How do they maintain the health and the quality of the watershed, and how do you create nutrient-dense food? And I think it's all about education. It's very important that it's difficult because not everybody, you know, believes in using organic methods, you have to show them that those methods can produce a really awesome product without the damaging effects that they have the damaging effects that they cause to the environment. I personally do use organic methods. Not all my seeds are organic because organic seeds are expensive. But I purchase seeds from a reputable seed house, and that's very important.
Cheryl, you want to jump in on this? Then I'm going to turn back to Severin.
I think that's a great question. I think Denzel covered the zoning question. I think that with seeds, I think that's one part of the process of growing food. That's where it all starts, is in the seed. And we definitely consider where we get our seeds. We do try to get them from local seed farms. And sometimes we try to save seeds. Some of the plants we grew this year were from saved seeds. We're really interested in, you know, pursuing more into the, you know, saving seeds and sharing seeds, in building that network, I think, amongst the urban farmers, even eventually. There's a small network that's been growing of urban farmers that, you know, are trying to build a to open up a discussion about these things. And because we're all, you know, working on these same problems, it makes sense for us to be having these discussions and working together on solving some of these they're not problems, but there are ways we can work together to provide, to share things, to share.
Right. Severin, let me bring you back here. I mean, I want to talk about Greenhorns and the stuff you're doing around the country and what you expect to come out of these meetings tomorrow and why you think people should attend.
Yes, well, I just have to weigh in a little tiny bit about this, about commercial operations and within a city context. And to just mention that, you know, if you look nationally at the kinds of farm projects, farm businesses that are starting up within city limits, there's just a whole bunch of different configurations. You know, yes, there are urban goats and urban pigs and urban chickens.
Mm-hmm.
There are farms on school grounds, on hospital grounds, land owned by churches. There's land, you know, people who do landscaping for others in a private business capacity to grow food. There are food banks that partner with land trusts to lease vacant land to grow food for their food bank to feed the hungry. So, you know, each of these ways that people figure out how to, you know, do something very human, which is stick your fingers in the ground. You know, there's always a lot of paperwork, but people seem to be able to handle the paperwork probably because of how good that sticking the fingers feels. So about the Greenhorns. So Greenhorns is a we made a documentary film. It's called Greenhorns, and it's about young farmers around the country, their struggle and their courage in jumping through hoops and getting access to land and starting businesses and staying sane. And we've got some nice experts weighing in on this. Those of you who have read the work of Michael Pollan will enjoy his commentary on the state of agricultural education in this country and where we need to take it if we're serious about feeding our kids healthy food.
So go ahead. Was there something? I thought you were about to say something. Maybe you weren't.
No, I was going to say, well, one of the things that's really important, I think, is really important to the Chesapeake is Cheryl brought it up. That was a great point about saving seeds. And, you know, I personally, and I know a lot of my friends in the city farming community, try to use heirloom varieties as much as we can. And, I also think it's very important to kind of keep in the food system those traditional foods that folks in the Chesapeake were growing and eating, you know, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. So that's you know, that's one part that you can do as well. But also as a commercial farmer, you know, your production is extremely important as well. And so there are some hybrids that aren't the same as people consider, you know, genetically modified crops that are, you know, that produce and do much better under certain conditions. So, you know, so that's a very complicated conversation. And you know, a lot of times people say, well, it's a hybrid. It's no good. You know, that's not necessarily true.
So tomorrow, one of the things you can do is go to www, that was three W's, by the way, if I said seven, I'm sorry, thegreenhorns.net/Baltimore, and that'll be on our website. And there's a whole day's worth of events.
Starts at
9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
At Five Seeds Farm.
At your farm.
At my place,
and,
yeah.
And Bel-Air Edison.
Bel-Air Edison, on the corner.
And the address is?
3500 Kenyon Avenue. Kenyon and Brims Lane.
And then Severin, there all day long that there are events taking place leading up to a film showing and a panel at night at the Maryland Institute College of Art.
Severin.
We hope to see you there.
Right.
And if you wanted to go for the whole day, you should bring your bicycle and some cool clothes and some water.
It looks like
it might be hot tomorrow.
It's going to be hot tomorrow. That's a long bike ride from your farm over to Amica.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a couple of stops in between. So they're biking from my place to Real Food Farm, which is in Clifton Park. And then most of the day's workshops occur at Real Food Farm. And then they're biking from Real Food Farm to Boone Street Garden. Is that all that correct, Severin?
That's right.
Okay. And then from Boone Street to Micah. So right. You can take a breather in between there.
All right.
So at Boone Street, we're going to have two workshops, one on building a worm composting bin and planting blueberry bushes, lowering pH of soil.
We have to take a break here, but I want to thank all three of you for being here. Severin von Scharner-Fleming, director of the Greenhorns, coming to Baltimore tomorrow. Cheryl Carmona, gardener at the Boone Street Garden in the Midway neighborhood, and Denzel Mitchell, founder and farm manager of Five Seeds Farm here in Baltimore. Good to have you all here, and see you tomorrow.
All right.
Folks, don't go away. We're going to come back, and we will jump into this conversation about the rising rates of poverty in America. It's just really rising exponentially. At least another 2.6 million people have slipped into poverty this year in the United States. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us.